bed. Here's a quick little joke for the smoking hot dads, drinking Bud Lights and wearing lots of plaid. Looking so fine in those crispy slacks. You're the whole damn meal, not some gluten-free snack. How you doing, champ?
Good.
Let's see what's under that hood. Turn the thermostat up.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Wednesday, February 16th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? We got our Top Shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! International man of mystery, taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Finally making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. We are oh so close to 50,000 subs. We're looking for, what, 350 heroes?
That's right.
Wow, we're getting really close. So like the video, comment away, and share the show with your friends. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. I promise that we might be stepping on the beach today, but I think we're going to do it tomorrow. Or maybe even Friday. At some point this week.
Maybe.
So send in your questions and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok at No Dunks Inc. Go to the solo shot, JD. I'm wearing a shock collar.
Oh.
Yes, it's a pick'em payoff type of day.
Oh, baby.
Not excited about this one, but here we are. I've owed a couple payoffs for a while now.
Yeah, this one's for last year,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
last
season. I'm killing it this month, but here I am still paying these off. I did the biking, about a month or so ago. So here's this one. So
we made it a good one, I think.
I mean, yeah, you made it one you might kill me, I guess. Is that a good one? Possibly.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
So I've got the dog shock collar on here. And by the way, don't do this at home. You know, hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass. Don't do this at home. I think we're going to be okay. JD has the controls.
Yes.
I didn't trust... Especially you.
I did not want to be in charge.
Yeah,
man.
So JD's got the
liable
button. I, of course, am going to have no idea when JD's pressing it. Should we make sure? Oh!
That was fake. Give him another buzz.
I literally was going to say, should we test to make sure it works? It works. I felt that. It lasts a little longer than one would think. It's not as boom. It's not as sudden. It sustains that little electricity coursing through my neck.
It's designed to get a dog's attention while the dog is doing what it's not supposed
Lee,
to do.
Lee, I need
it's
a
so
treat.
Dumb.
Feed me your treat. Hopefully we'll, have some fun with this. So at least you guys will enjoy this. If you haven't subscribed to No Dunks at this point on YouTube, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm going to be being electrocuted throughout this entire show here.
Yeah, drop a lightning bolt in the chat anytime you think Skeets is deserving of a shock or has been shocked.
50,000 subscribers, as soon as you click, you're going to get a shock through the internet. Yeah,
I thought this was going to be the case. The shock sucked. I jolted. I'm going to react to it when it happens. But it's not knowing when it's coming. I can't even, with the JD setup, he's got his giant monitor, he's got a million cables and cameras in front of him. I can't even see out of the corner of my eye when he's getting ready to click it, because he's always just pressing buttons over there. Right. I think that's the worst part, but all right.
He probably has multiple remotes, too. He's got one fakey. Maybe we have ones in our pocket. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be diabolical.
Yeah, amazing.
Sent them to the stream teamers at home. They can somehow operate. All right, well, let's pay off this pick'em.
You're a good sport so far.
Well,
so far.
We'll see. Let's get into last night's games. Every word I say, it could be coming, and I hate it. Giannis pours in 50 points to lead the Bucks. Oh, it's Bucks! I knew he was going to do it too. Pours in 50 to lead the Bucks past the Pacers, 128-119. I can smell something burning. I think
that's your hair.
Might be my neck hair.
That's your cologne. You smelled great when I put that on you.
Thank you.
A couple minutes ago.
It's residue cologne on this sweater that I wore a couple days ago.
Okay.
Just
nice.
Decided not to wash it. I'm serious.
I love a residue cologne.
Trey, get us started here, Giannis, with the 50 piece, my man.
Is residue a Calvin Klein scent?
Oh.
Ooh, residue.
Sounds like one.
Left over from last night. I said on yesterday's show that if the season ended yesterday, Joel Embiid would probably win the MVP. Somebody called Dr. Dre and Eminem because I was acting like I forgot about Giannis.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I didn't forget about him. And he reminded us last night The East is still going through Milwaukee. Guaranteed 50 points on 21 shots for Giannis Antetokounmpo last night. This might have been the easiest 50-point game in NBA history. Like, I know he took a lot of free throws, but it seemed like every basket he made, it was just Giannis in the lane out there. And honestly, like, he was being guarded by Gogo Bitadze and Terry Taylor. So shout out to him throwing 50 on those guys, because you should throw 50 on those guys. You did. This is only the 12th time in NBA history that a player has scored 50 or more points on 80% shooting or better. That's right. Wilt Chamberlain numbers. Eat your heart out, DeMar DeRozan. 19 of those points came in the fourth quarter for Giannis. That's the fifth or the fourth time in his career, 50 points. And here's the crazy thing to me. Giannis is leading the league in scoring right now. 29.4 points per game. He's got a great seat at the MVP table. Like, he doesn't have the buzz that Jokic has. He doesn't have the buzz that Embiid has.
Don't say buzz. Don't do that. You're not going to be a dick.
My bad, Buzzy. But he doesn't, you know, because we kind of expect it from Giannis. The guy had a 50-point game in the finals, and the thing you keep hearing is like, oh, his first 50-point game from the finals. Like, they just fall off of trees.
Yeah.
But for Giannis in this game, it kind of fell off a tree, and he just went out and completely dominated the Pacers. So, great stuff. Love to see Giannis having a game like that. And he even knew what was going on. He was hitting jumpers. He finally got his basket to score 50 points. Hit us with a 5-0. It's nice to score an amount of points that you can fit on your hands. Nobody wants 39. It looks ridiculous.
That one to get him the 50, the handles, the step back, or maybe not a step back, but a sort of just, you know, sidestep, raise up and swished it as clean as anything. That shot is just looking so good out there. The 18 free throws as well, 14 for 18, had so many similarities to that game seven in terms of just, you know, total and utter dominance and stepping to the line and knocking them down. I'm going to say it. The Bucks are better with Giannis. You know, the night before they lost to the Portland Trail Blazers. Giannis back out there, they're a much better team. But now it does look a little bit more bigger picture here for the Bucks, because game and a half back for the Bulls and the Heat. The Heat lost last night. The Bulls have won four straight. Feels like the Bulls, though, are probably going to stutter a little bit just because of the Zach LaVine injury. Maybe not, but even if they don't, if Giannis is healthy and happy along this, you know, after the All-Star break here, I do think the Bucks probably ultimately get that number one spot in the Eastern Conference, because they're just a damn good team. And he's playing. I mean, these are obvious things that I'm saying here, but you're seeing Giannis, like, you know, he's won the two MVPs. He's already done that. He's defensive player. He's a champion. But now he's just sort of starting to really develop that shot with more confidence. I mean, it's unguardable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great stuff. They're playing against a team that's got nothing to play for, really, here, the Pacers.
This was a game, though, too. This wasn't close, 50-point, you know, performance in a real big blowout. It was like a four-point game, like, early in the fourth quarter, 8 minutes to go.
Buddy had a great game, had 36 points there. But, that was, again, when you're a champion, you know you can just sort of, like, keep that other team at bay and then close it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bucks turned it on when they needed to. A weird game because they allowed the Pacers to shoot 50%. Could have easily lost this game. The Pacers were 8 of 19 from the free throw line. So if they hit some free throws, they win this game.
Maybe, yeah.
And so a very strange outcome. The Bucks, I'm sure, upset at themselves for allowing 119 points to this Pacers team. Yeah, Buddy had a great game. Tyrese Haliburton doing his thing since he's come over. But Giannis with the 50-point game. And would be his first scoring title if he does win this whole thing. He's never been the scoring champion. Was he the scoring leader before yesterday when he dropped 50 and Joel dropped 19? Did they flip-flop? I'm not sure, because he's
probably
at 29 points.
I think they did, actually. Yeah.
I think so, too. So it's cool to have on the resume. It's cool to be bolded on the basketball reference as the season leader. He's 29.4. Joel's 29.3. LeBron's right at 29. So it's neat to have it on there. Just what the neatest thing is 21 shots to get 50 points.
Yeah.
And that's the most badass thing. And I think what's good for them is you had Serge Ibaka, the guy that came over at the trade deadline, their big acquisition, while Brook Lopez is trying to get back healthy. Back-to-back nights, he played 30-plus the first night and 20-plus minutes the second night. For a guy everyone considers old and past his prime, he's still in his early 30s. If he can do that, I think it's clear that his body is able anyways to chip in. And we saw some good defensive plays over the last couple nights. So I think that's the most positive thing. And Giannis just rolling. Yeah, sorry, Goga. Sorry,
Goga.
Terry
Jalen
Taylor.
Jalen Smith got a couple I saw, too, there. New Pacers. My favorite part of this whole thing, the NBA have their YouTube vid up of Giannis scoring 50. It's titled this.
What's that? No,
shocking stuff from Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No, it was titled, I forgot I was wearing it for a second. The guy who ordered nuggets dropped another 50-piece. That's what they labeled the video.
Bars.
Of course, yeah, like you said, off of the Chick-fil-A 50 piece in the finals, right. Remember he went, you know, not 51, not 49, 50 exactly. That's what they called the video.
Well done.
He loves it.
I didn't think it was that funny.
I'm just trying to think like someone's in there. Giannis, 54. But
it literally
James
says
six.
The yeah. guy who ordered Nuggets dropped another 50.
A couple of weeks ago, he had chicken wings after a game. I thought it was wings, not Nuggets. But okay, they're going correct. Deeper. But,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a 50 piece, but some people want to call it a 50 burger. Or do you like it for the Chick-fil-A version of the Nuggets? Like the burger part.
Actually, what is it a 50 piece or a 50 burger? I'm not sure. I go burger. I think I go burger.
That's a good poll. Yeah. Which one do like people like more? They both sound great. I mean, what do you like? Burger?
Burger. As soon as you say burger, I think I associate it with nothing burger. I associate it with something negative. So it's got to be a piece for me. Like okay. A burger? No, it's got to be.
Well, just makes, yeah, there's 50. You can get 50 nuggets too. Okay? Yeah. That makes a lot more burger. Sense. That part. But, yeah. All right.
Yeah, you can order a 50 piece. You can order
a 50 burger.
Oh, no one's trying. They take a burger and cut it up into 50 pieces.
Okay, that's a funny bit. Like a drive up to a drive-thru. Yeah. I'll have the 50 burger to see what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, our next game. This was the first game on TNT. It was a blowout. It was over in a hurry. Jaylen Brown led the streaking Celtics to the blowout win over the 76ers. Boston, the Beantown boys are hot, Tess.
It's amazing. It was obviously a blowout, so that made it strange. The other thing that made it strange was James Harden sitting on the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers, sitting at home on the bench after press conference, after practicing with his team. That was the weird thing to me. He was in a shoot-around, then he told Doc Rivers, hey, I want to get some reps. Let me play with the second team and the third team because I need to get reps with this team. But when his team needed him that night, chilling. He's already declared he's not playing until after the All-Star break. He also said in that press conference, after All-Star, it's go time. They could use him right now. And he knows his body, and he's obviously played through. He's never subscribed to load management. He's a tough dude.
True.
But some strange stuff happening there. I thought
some strange wardrobe too.
Yeah, whatever he was wearing with the sleeveless suit. I don't know. I mean, a sleeveless suit, but also like bare arms under it. It looked like he was.
He had sleeves, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it was a pink. But it was like a pink sleeveless blazer, for lack of a better term. You know, right? And then underneath it was brown. Like so, yeah, it was like two was different layers. Brown.
I thought it was all one thing. I thought the giant shoulder pads jacket was attached to the brown sleeves. Look, I don't know what's
going
on.
Right.
I don't know.
You totally could
I know
be
it
right.
looked like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you had that shirt ripped off once in the show, the sleeves ripped off, didn't you? Remember that show?
Yeah,
that's kind of what it looked like. Someone just ripped the sleeves off his, and that was what he was wearing underneath. It was a funky old look he had going on.
Anyway, he's not playing and they could have used him.
They could have used him, whether he was wearing that or a jersey. If he was on the floor, it would have been a big difference. But they obviously missed Seth Curry, who went to the Brooklyn Nets as a ball handler. I figured Tyrese Maxey would be the sort of the go-to guy to kind of take over, but that didn't happen. They were trying to do it by committee, and against this Boston Celtics team that was playing straight up against everybody, that didn't work because they were showing a second body against Joel Embiid, but Al Horford, who was starting for Robert Williams at center, was doing a good job playing him one-on-one, and then Daniel Tice came in and played backup minutes, and then it was just, they were just too far back to make this a game whatsoever, and nobody took over as the perimeter guy. You know, we'll get to the James Harden press conference a little later, but he's happy to be the only solo act perimeter scorer on this team. That's what he's happy to be. Anyways, on the other side, the Boston Celtics, it's wild that they're 6th in the East. They're 3.5 back of the first seed after winning 9 in a row. It was 40 days ago. They were 3 games under 500, and now they are absolutely rolling because they do it by committee, and they have changed. And anybody out there in terms of those talking heads that say, oh, yeah, they play too much ISO ball, it's obviously extremely different now. Everybody gets a touch. Everybody gets a piece, and they love playing defense. Unfortunately, one of their best defenders, Marcus Smart, turned his ankle. It looks like he'll be out for a while, but you know, they have the Pistons tonight, and then they don't have another game until Thursday of next week. So You know, maybe they can survive. Marcus Smart is a tough dude, so.
But that's
Derek
when
White
that's when their
in.
Season sort of turned around and they got going again. It's when Marcus Smart returned, and then the defense went up to that extra level, became the best in the league. You know, he gives them like Draymond Green like defense at the, you know, a perimeter player. Mm-hmm. He's that good, and they're all really good defenders.
They
all
are good defenders. I think I think that part's underrated. Like Tatum's playing the four. They're all tough dudes. Tatum said yesterday after the game, "I'm the strongest guy on this team." You know, he looks thin. But he's a very strong dude. He said him and Al Horford are the strongest guys. But he can play the four. Jaylen Brown's a good defender. Up and down the roster, now they can have Derek White slip in to the starting lineup for Marcus Smart for as long as he's out.
What do you think of Boston here? Because they led wire to wire. Yeah. They led by 51 points. They shot 56% from the field and 55% from three.
Yeah, a bit of a flatliner there for the Sixers last night with James Harden there, the big sign. He had the big press conference.
He hit the bell and everything.
Yeah.
He really rang that thing. Yeah. It was going in.
But the Celtics defense, second best in the league right now. Ime Udoka, that's his sort of where he came from, San Antonio. Yep. He's like, I want us to be a solid defensive team. Because offensively, about middle of the pack and not a great three-point shooting team. But if you can lock up the other team, especially like they did against the maybe MVP in Joel Embiid last night, that's really where they're going to make their mark this season. So they've sort of been a bit flying under the radar. Now they've rattled off 9 straight, probably get 10 and go into the All-Star break. Actually, probably a good time just now, get a rest, reset, and charge for that second
half.
Why would
you want to go into the All-Star break when you're on maybe a 10-game win streak?
You're playing well, and you're like, okay, let's have a break and let's get ready for it. Maybe Marcus Smart comes back. I mean, there's nothing they can do about it. The All-Star break's coming anyway.
So keep playing.
Yeah, well, who's playing? Tatum's the only sort of rep, I think, at all, isn't he, for the Celtics? I can't think of anybody else there. So, but yeah, they've snuck along quietly and doing pretty well.
Do you think they'll be able to sustain the sort of win streak they have going if Marcus Smart is out for a couple weeks? It looked like a pretty bad ankle sprain. I assume he'll miss some games, of course.
Yeah, I think they can do all right since they got Derek White, a bit of a Marcus Smart kind of character, and keeps the offense moving side to side as well. So I think he can step in. I assume he'll probably step into the starting lineup, though. Maybe Peyton Pritchard could get the start, so you keep the bench sort of the same.
Right.
But the defense isn't going to fall off, and that's why the Celtics keep winning games here. Al Horford's still a very solid Joel Embiid defender, which is pretty weird to think about, that the Sixers signed him because it was like, this is the one guy that can stop Embiid, so let's get him on our team. Unfortunately, that stopped Embiid a little bit when he was on the Sixers. Now he's back to the Celtics. Holding it down there. 25 threes, though, from Boston. If they shoot that well and play that kind of defense, that's going to be an impossible team to beat come playoff time. My favorite moment in this, though, we saw a clip going around yesterday of Harden at practice with the 76ers. Him, Sam Cassell, and Joel Embiid all talking about Harden's step back, trying to figure out how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So Joel Embiid tried it last night, and he traveled right away. Yeah. Everybody thinks it's easy to do the Harden step back. I guess there's some footwork involved.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's like 100 steps.
Twitter was having some fun, and the Sixers getting their asses handed to them with James Harden. You know, he's obviously not playing in the game, but there, and people were, that clip, the step back, and him ringing the bell in the wardrobe, just like we were. But Boston, wow. Dominant victory. Unfortunate for TNT that it was their first game of the doubleheader. Second one was a lot more entertaining. Let's keep it going here. 5 Mavericks score in double figures to... that one hurt. Would you crank it up? That one legit hurt.
You didn't.
like someone sort of punched me.
JD said, I didn't touch it. I didn't crank it up, but you did touch it.
I touched it. I turned it on.
That was... maybe it's because we had gone a little bit between buzzes. Anyway.
Yeah, keep him coming more often so that he can stay used to it.
No, that's not what I mean. Oh. 5 Mavericks score in double figures to snap Miami streak. Lee, what did you take away from this one?
The Miami Heat probably look at this game and thought, we actually executed the game plan defensively, what we were hoping to do. Double team Luka Doncic, make life difficult for him. He finished with 21 points on 5 of 19 shooting. Problem was, Mavericks in that second half basically said, okay, you know the double's coming, move that ball around, and they just started hitting three, started raining down on them in that third quarter, and then finished the game off. And you mentioned the 5 players in double figures there. Finney Smith had 4 threes, 3 for Jalen Brunson, 3 for Kleber, and also 3 for Davis Bertans.
Yeah,
Bert is back.
Yeah. But so this is the thing with the Mavericks. It's like, if you do get these contributions from guys, they're a lot better team, because Luka, I mean, that defense was so intense on him, and he was pretty good for the most part. Like, he didn't turn it over a ton of times, only three times, but there was extra passes, that secondary pass to get that extra look going, and that's what they did against a very good team. Now, no Tyler Hero here for the Heat, and I think you could sort of tell a little bit in their offense is a little bit more stagnant. They didn't get that bump that they get from him coming off the bench, but everyone else was great. Kyle Lowry played, Adebayo played, of course, and Jimmy Butler played. So certainly no excuses here for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. I mean, most teams have had to deal with, you know, a player or two missing at some point. So they should have won. They led this game, but Dallas came back and was pretty impressive, really, in that second half. I would have marked this down as a Heat win pretty comfortably before the game, but Dallas gets it.
You agree with them?
Yeah, well, the Mavs traded Porzingis and maybe traded a little bit more of their top-level talent for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans to have a lot of guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Jalen Brunson and Maxi Kleber who can hit shots but maybe reduces their ceiling a little bit if Kristaps Porzingis is himself. But everybody buying into, hey, Luka's got the ball and then we got to swing that thing around. Spencer Dinwiddie, I thought, was had a really great game because if you look at Luka Doncic's line, he had five shots, just five shots. And he only had six assists, but Spencer Dinwiddie is indicative of the style that they're playing. He came off the bench and had five assists himself, almost as many assists as Luka, because Luka passed the ball around and Spencer's buying in, and you could see Spencer just moving the rock. I mean, that's all he had to do, and he was pumping his fist, and people worried about him being a selfish basketball player. But right now, him buying in, Kleber obviously had a ridiculously good game. I think it's sort of, you know, like the Heat, like they're trying to emulate the Heat, who are supposed to move the ball around. They definitely missed Tyler Hero, but these guys, Kleber chipping in with five blocks again, that was huge, and then Davis Bertans. So they spread it out. If they want to buy, if everybody's buying in, then they've got guys who can make shots like Davis Bertans. Yeah, he had a few threes, he had a dunk. Great meme. I'm not sure who tweeted it initially, but a photo of Davis Bertans, who doesn't look like a typical athlete. I guess he's a very tall, skinny man with the
nerdy
caption
looking.
Nerdy looking. Yeah, the
he's
caption
got
of
crazy hair.
Yeah. Yeah, just regular hair, I guess.
I mean, it's not even regular. If I saw that hair in the wild, I'd be like, ugh. Haircut. Just weird.
Yeah. Wild.
It's like, I mean,
yeah. Anyways,
it's got Amish vibes, I guess, the hair, right? Yeah.
Amish
vibes. Well, yeah, it's the best way to describe it, isn't it?
It's just a short part, I guess. I mean, it's like,
but it's almost like there's too much of it. Like, it's like a chia pet or something. I don't know.
It's got a heavy bang. It's like, he's got a Bieber bang.
All right. Like an Amish Bieber.
The tweet, though, from Kirk Henderson, if I'm not mistaken. Kirk Serious Face.
Was it Kirk Serious Face?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, so it's a photo of him. And the caption is, "Hello, fellow athletes."
He's smiling up a storm.
Yeah, he doesn't look like an athlete. And then he threw down a big dunk and hit some threes. So everybody happy, obviously. First game. They're playing their first game.
Yeah.
So you never know how long it's going to last. But listen, if you buy in, then this is this team. Again, maybe not the same ceiling if Porzingis is playing at his best, but it's a different team. It's Luka in the band, and everybody just has to chip in, and they did that.
It was probably Davis Bertans, I don't know, second best game this season?
Yeah.
Third?
Probably. He does nothing but shoot. But sometimes he gets hot, and he hit three last night. He got the breakaway dunk. So if you can get three threes from him off the bench every night, you'll take that. I mean, you just want a guy out there playing. You know, and that's the problem with Porzingis, is you just don't know when he's playing. So the Mavs didn't make this trade to improve their team. They made this trade to get off Porzingis' contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, well, let's just see what these guys can offer us. And, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie can be a decent player coming off the bench. And as I say, Bertans, he'll probably have a game where he scores 30 and hits seven threes.
Mm-hmm.
But then he might go five games and not hit two threes.
How many times has Bertans scored over 20 points this season?
Three.
Once. Yeah. He had a 21-point game. Then 19, 17, 15. This was like his sixth best game, I guess. Yeah. I wasn't exaggerating that much.
Yeah. He's going to get shots. I mean, if he can't shoot for the Mavericks, he's not going to be able to shoot in the NBA at this point. He's going to get these served up nice and tasty. They knocked him down last night, 18 threes. I'm giving the game ball, no doubt, to Kleber, though. I thought he was awesome, especially in the second half. He was catching Jimmy Butler a bunch on switches, doing a pretty solid job. He finished with 19 points and 5 blocks. 4 of the blocks came in the second half. So, yeah, I thought getting him on the court, maybe that's part of the reason, too, is that he just gives the Mavericks exactly what they need and what they're expecting from Porzingis, hitting threes and playing defense. That's what Porzingis was out there for, except for Kleber actually stays on the court.
His defense on Jimmy Butler in that fourth quarter was incredible. Butler was getting so frustrated because he couldn't shake him. Kleber was just moving his feet. He's long. You know, he's a little bit taller there. And Jimmy Butler was really, really bothered by him.
Let's move to our next game. Towns scored 39 as the Wolves beat the Hornets 126-120 in overtime. I can't believe Minnesota won this game. I watched a lot of it. They were down 13 points in the fourth quarter. They lost Anthony Edwards in the second half. And overtime, of course, he limped to the locker room really with a right ankle sprain at the end of the first half, so he didn't see any action in the second half or overtime. And Minnesota shot 13 of 55 from three. That's 24, sub 24%, and then just 27 of 43 Lee at the free throw line, which is under 63%, and they somehow won this game mainly because of Karl Anthony Towns. Incredible down the stretch. Like, he hit two timely threes in the fourth quarter, hit another one in overtime, had a big block in overtime. Then when they were like, well, we better get out on him, he's just like letting these threes fire away. Bad closeouts. He put a couple little dribbles into the paint, and like instead of crashing into somebody and getting an offensive charge, nice little floater, just some nice finishes. Thought it was amazing. He had 39 points and 15 boards. And I was, though, like pulling my hair out, Lee. I don't know if you saw the end of regulation when... This is a close game. I think it was a one-point game, and there was like 50 seconds to go. Towns had just hit two threes. He is your star player. He's got it going. He's feeling it. What do they do? D'Angelo Russell just takes a three, like a contested three. You know, they run like a little pick-and-roll action with Towns. They don't even really look for him, get him the ball. Okay, you're like, all right, fine. Then, less than 10 seconds ago, chance to win the game in regulation. Russell takes it again. It's like, what is going on here? Like... On one hand, Russell had a decent game. He had a beautiful pass. I think it was to McDaniels cutting backdoor in overtime.
It was
really nice. And he had a good game, 18-11, like fine. But like, come on. Your star player, your all-star, your all-NBA guy, get him the ball. Like, get him the ball. And he should be demanding the ball, too. That pisses me off.
That's my point, is you kind of know that's D'Angelo Russell. He's done this before.
I know.
You know, 5 for 22 last night. Yeah. It's not like he was going, shooting real well. But... I think more of it has to come from Towns to be like, look at the game I'm having. This is my team.
Yeah.
I'm getting down deep in the post, wherever. Just give me the ball. And that message needs to be communicated from him more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Not the coach, not his teammates, to say to D'Angelo, give me the ball.
Yeah. But pulled it out in the end, and it didn't matter in a huge game. Charlotte, by the way, fell to 0-5 in overtime games this season, which is unfortunate for them. They're sliding here too. They're falling down the Eastern Conference standings as they lose these games. But anything to add to this one, Trey, with Towns dropping those threes and looking pretty special?
The Timberwolves are good at losing this kind of game. Like when a star goes out and they're playing a close game, like you're saying, sometimes Karl Anthony Towns can just chill in a fourth quarter or in an overtime. And I think it is strange seeing D'Angelo Russell take that many shots. But still, Towns had a great fourth quarter and overtime. He really did put the team on his back, even if it wasn't for those last couple of possessions of regulation. But he was great in overtime, I thought. And I thought Jaden McDaniels was a really solid player for the Timberwolves as well last night. 18 points on 14 shots. Great activity, 4 steals. He made a really nice defensive play down the stretch in overtime as well. So... yeah, great stuff from the Timberwolves to be able to pull out this win. That's like a professional victory right there, which is something you're not seeing from the Hornets. They're kind of in the Timberwolves spot from the past couple of years. You're playing close games. You got good talent. You're winning some of these games, but the close ones are tough.
Yeah. Any notes on this one?
Yeah, it definitely felt like a game the Wolves were going to lose. But good one here leading into the break. Get that W, even though it felt like the ugliest game on the schedule last night. It didn't feel very fulfilling watching these two teams play defense. The over-under total was 244.5. The scores thought this was going to be, or the line makers thought this was going to be like a 120-122 game. And it got there in overtime, because there wasn't a ton of defense being played. And Anthony Edwards went out in this game. And there were more shots to be had, so it would have been a different fourth quarter overtime. Anthony Edwards out. But he was celebrating after the game, so I assume he's all right.
Three other games on last night. Trey, got a note on each of these?
You know it.
Okay.
But I got bad news.
Yeah.
These are all actually important games.
Yeah,
I know.
And there was just a lot of good games on last night. So here we go. The Suns got their 6th straight victory. They beat the Clips. It's getting worse. 103. Clippers 103-96. I said the Suns won.
Yeah, Suns were up 6 at half when I went to bed. And I thought to myself, I bet Chris Paul takes over in the fourth quarter with a little help from Devin Booker. So I read the news today. Oh, boy. Here's the AP recap. In the span of about 2 minutes late in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul hit a three-pointer, found Devin Booker for a picturesque alley-oop slam, and made a difficult short jumper off the glass to push the Phoenix Suns up by 4 points. Just another ho-hum finish in winning time for arguably the NBA's best backcourt. You can watch the Suns without even having to watch the Suns.
Yeah.
They're going to take care of business every single time in the fourth quarter. That's exactly what it was. Chris Paul was great. Devin Booker was great. They didn't even mention it here, but Chris Paul found Mikal Bridges for a wide-open three to really ice this game with maybe less than 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, great stuff from the Suns. They're just going to win every single game this year. Like, it's more of a shock. Oh, sorry, buddy. Sorry. You never realize how much you say the word shock.
Yeah.
Somebody's sitting there with a collar on their neck, but... Not a shock last night for the Suns, but definitely a shock for J.E. Skeets right now.
No, please. So the Suns, my heart's like just going a mile a minute. Suns are 47-10. Okay, mm-hmm. We got to keep saying this. They started the season 1-3,
mm-hmm.
Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So do the math on that for me. That's one hell of a record over their last, you know, whatever.
46-7.
This guy's good, eh? It's crazy.
They're going to be a high 60s win team. They're going to be one of those teams that you can't say they're going to be a 70 win team. That's a little too bonkers.
No, they're not
going to
be that.
Well, they'd have to be 23-2 over the last.
Because you only need to win 70, not... Sorry. I'm wrong. I got
you
my math wrong.
You should have stopped
I know,
when you were
I know,
ahead.
I know,
you only
I know.
Need to win 70 to be a 70 win team.
Yeah.
If you win 70, you're definitely 70 wins. They'd have to go 23-2, which would be tough after starting 1-3. But any team that wins 66, 67, 68, they could. You know, you look at what they're doing because they could. They're absolutely the one seed. And that's not being relinquished.
Yeah.
Tyus Jones scored 27. Yes. He helped lead the Grizzlies past the Pelicans 121-109. No Ja Morant.
No Ja Morant. No problem. No Orleans win. Career high 27 points, 9 assists for Tyus Jones. He was really great filling in for Ja. I saw on Grizzlies Twitter, they call him Tyus Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of ball-themed nicknames out there.
Yeah, maybe he's a curling fan.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, he's where is he from? Apple Valley, Minnesota or something like that?
I don't know.
Tyus Stones. That's cool. Tyus Bones Stones. I don't know. You don't hear ball-themed nicknames a lot. You don't see a Mucci Norris Afro very often.
Yeah.
But Zaire Williams had one on, had his hair out last night. Looked very cool. I love it. Question for me, though, is that he was born in 2002? I think he's 2K2 birthday. So is this like a ludicrous reference for him? Like, who's the reference? Jared Allen? It's like I've looked up to Jared Allen for years.
Yeah, it's gotta be
up, right?
Yeah, because I tweeted about it. I tweeted about his hair yesterday. That's what I got back was Jared Allen. Like fro.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
And then final game, Trae Young scored 41. I'm burying the lead here. It's not the lead, but a good game for the Hawks. Ka-ka, to hand the Cavs, the 124-116 loss. So nice victory from Atlanta.
Roller coaster season continues for the Hawks. I haven't seen ups and downs like this since Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Somers starred in television Step by Step from 1991 to 1998.
Wow. Can you expand on that? They went through some ups and downs, or is that the
Step by Step? The intro is set at an amusement park. And the last scene of it is their family riding up and down on a roller coaster.
Oh, I don't remember that.
1991 to 1998.
What a timely reference.
I wonder if Zaire Williams saw that show.
No way he knows what
I honestly, I don't remember that show.
You don't remember that show?
I remember it. I watched it. I don't remember the intro, but
JT and Cody? Cody's World? Or JT's World? One of the two? I don't know. They always had that fake show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that. Anyways, 41 points, 9 assists for Trae Young last night, 25 for Danilo Gallinari. The Hawks had 5 players in double digits. Meanwhile, that was the most points the Cavs have allowed in a game since opening night. They've had a little rough patch here.
Wow.
I would recommend everybody go read the interview Chris Kirshner did with Clint Capella on The Athletic. You can subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks. An incredible deal going on right now. He's basically talking about, we came into this season thinking we were going to be right back in the playoffs, and guess what? We have not been back in the playoffs because nobody plays defense except for me, is basically what Clint Capella said. He is being very candid about the problems with the Hawks this season. Seemed like he was happy to see the trade deadline end, and he's sticking around, so he's getting some things off his chest. But if they're going to have any sort of consistency, it's going to have to be on the defensive end. They didn't win with defense last night, but they're going to have to do it eventually. I don't know if slotting Gallinari into the starting lineup for John Collins is the way to go about it, but they did all right last night to score that many points against a good Cavs defensive team. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, my favorite part about the Clint Capella article there, where he was very candid. He said, we don't have defensive players like we did last year. Like, we had Solomon Hill.
Yeah.
And Brandon Goodwin and Tony Snell. Is that the problem, that you don't have those types of guys? I mean, they don't have that mentality, that killer mentality. But you can see with Trae Young in the second half, he is that kind of guy. He's a fourth quarter guy. He's a second half season type of guy and a playoff type of guy. Yeah, coming off two losses, he turned it up. I wonder how disappointed they are slightly in that locker room that they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, because they made the trade for Cam Reddish, traded Cam Reddish for a pick, thinking that'd be a prelude to something. It didn't happen. And I wonder how slightly they are a little disappointed. But yeah, Cavs need a little break, and they're the first team to have a break here at the trade deadline. They're gameless here on Wednesday and Thursday. Cool.
There's a lot of games on tonight, too. So, and then, of course, there are some games on Thursday night, so a little surprising. Okay, well, you said they're taking a break. Let's take our first break. When we come back, a little isness. You know it's coming, too, and you still can't get ready for it. We'll be right back.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks here in the Classic Factory. If you're just joining us, I am wearing a dog shock collar because I am paying off one of my pick'em losses as JD presses
nice
the button
one.
Right there.
Good timing.
No idea when it's coming. Does hurt a little bit. Don't do this. Don't recommend you try this at home.
Did you try it at home with Luna?
No, we don't have one of these.
Is that cruel?
This is disgusting if you ask me. JD's a monster in my eyes. I shouldn't say that right now.
I've used it once.
Okay, good.
On my dog.
Now I'm tied with your dog?
Yeah, well, I've only actually pressed the button on the dog once, and I couldn't handle it. I felt bad.
But so, you're loving this.
I mean, I'm not hating it.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, maybe come check out the YouTube video today. Maybe we'll cut together a little compilation of me just going like this, basically. That was me doing it. That wasn't a real one. Let's get to a little Is This News. Yeah, is this news? Give you guys a headline. You can tell me whether or not it's newsworthy. First one, from The Athletic, a fine website. You should get yourself a subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. It reads, James Harden says Sixers are perfect fit. Quote, Philly was my first choice. Tass, is this news?
The Athletic is a fine website, but I would say this is not news whatsoever. I guess what James Harden is saying is when he was traded 13 months ago from Houston, there are a couple deals on the table for the Rockets, Nets, and obviously the Sixers. And Tillman Fertitta said, no way. As the Rockets owner said, no way. We're not trading him to Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers. We're trading him to the Nets. I suppose that could be true. That definitely could be true, but I'm not believing anything James Harden is saying right now. I'm just not. Yesterday, he said, as part of his press conference, I'm in a place where I can be the best James Harden I can be on the court. So, why was Brooklyn even an option then? I mean, why was it an option? I know I'm digging into his words here, but I guess he just regrets playing with Kevin Durant. Like, if he wanted to be the best version of himself, why didn't he just say, I'm only going to Philly? So Houston just chose this offer, the Nets offer. Anyways, I'm digging into words. Who knows? He said also, I knew for a very long time this was a perfect fit. Again, he wanted to go somewhere where that wasn't perfect. I mean, if he knew for a long time, I suspect long is longer than 13 months, that he knew from before he was dealt that this was the perfect fit for him, but he chose not to because he said Brooklyn was better. I'm just not buying anything, especially with how fishy it is the way he's come to Philadelphia. He's declared he's not playing this week, and then he goes into practice and he's doing step backs. The bod is feeling fine. It's clear. He says to Doc Rivers, I want to play with the second unit. I want to play the third unit in practice. But very Jimmy Butler-esque connection to Philly there. But I'm not playing this week, so we're going to get slashed by the Celtics last night. And he said after the break, it's go time. So, you know, he can do what he wants with his bod. He's obviously knows when to turn it on, and the Sixers are going to be a heck of a lot better come the second half when he's playing. But I'm just not buying anything. So no news. Sorry, The Athletic.
What were your biggest takeaways from not only Harden's but maybe even Ben Simmons' press conferences yesterday?
Well, a lot. Daryl Morey wanted to reinforce and let everyone know it was Rich Paul and Ben Simmons who demanded the trade. He mentioned that a few times. Said when they came to us and said he wanted a different situation, so it wasn't like they were trying to push him out. That was one thing. For the Ben Simmons stuff, I mean, look, he spoke fairly comfortably up there. Look, he looked like he was ready for a new situation. But the key takeaway from me there was the last question. Someone said, have you been working on your free throws? That's the sort of one of the big reasons why we got to where we are right now. He said, every day. So I'm excited to see now because Ben Simmons statistically hasn't improved throughout his career. He's basically flatlined from his first season. So I hopefully now will see some improvement in some areas of his game because it's not just the shooting and scoring. It's the rebounds and the assists and the defense as well. Defense, second runner-up defensive player of the year last year. We know he can play defense. So do we see now that in these last 8 months that he has been working on his game? Are we going to see an improvement there? So that was an interesting thing. And then James Harden, there was talk where he was asked a question. He said, I want to play with guys who are committed to winning. We'll do everything they want to win.
Yeah.
And people are saying, well, you had Kevin Durant.
It's got nothing to do with Kevin Durant. It's got everything to do with Kyrie Irving not getting the vaccination.
He said him and Kyrie are friends still.
Yeah.
But that's basically what he was saying, is Kyrie's not committed to winning and I didn't want to be there. So, look, they both got what they wanted. Everyone got what they wanted. I just can't wait to see it happen. And he was asked, are you going to be playing in Philadelphia March 10? I hope so, he said.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Ben Simmons, yeah. Any takeaways, Trey?
Just that people be lying at press conferences. Yeah. Like, that's the time to lie. You got to butter up the fans. You got to say, of course I'm excited to be here, but I also kind of am with Tass here where I do think it's true that James Harden wanted to be in Philadelphia, but the chance of winning a championship presented itself with the Nets, and surely the Rockets were like, we don't want Ben Simmons. We would rather make all of these picks on our own. So he didn't really have a choice there. It kind of is similar to me to Jimmy Butler going to Philadelphia from Minnesota because they had a chance to win the championship and they wanted Jimmy Butler there to try and go as far as they possibly could. But Jimmy Butler really wanted to be in Miami since before he even got traded to Minnesota.
Right,
you know what
I'm saying?
Sometimes it just takes a while to work your way there with other transactions and stuff. But I would be encouraged if I were a fan of the Nets and the Sixers because both of those guys looked happy. Ben Simmons looked happy. James Harden looked happy. That has not been the case for Simmons for months, for James Harden for a month. So whenever they're both healthy, which will be after the All-Star break, they're going to be back playing on the court looking like a couple of the best teams out there.
Any update on us flying to Philadelphia for that return?
TBD.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nice.
Can't wait. next headline from Silver Screen and Roll. Lakers reportedly turned down John Wall, Christian Wood trade because of increased luxury tax. So some more to this reported deal. Christian Wood's name being added. Is this news, Trey?
Yeah, I had a couple of reactions to this one. The first one, I didn't know the Lakers were straight up broke boys. But that's how it's turning out here. They passed on bringing back Alex Caruso due to concerns about the luxury tax, and now they're basically passing on adding Christian Wood since the Westbrook and John Wall contracts basically wash each other out. Honestly, fair enough, not wanting to just make a deal to make a deal, saying, we got our team here. Y'all convinced me that this team was going to be good. Now let's see this team be good. Mm-hmm. That being said, they could have added youth for adding money, which is the crazy thing to me is the second reaction. Have the Lakers given up on this season? Because that's kind of what this says to me. Jeannie Buss is on record last year saying, the luxury tax is for teams that have championship aspirations. So the Lakers passed on adding to their luxury tax. Do they not have championship aspirations? They shouldn't for this season. It's not going to be close. So this is probably the smart thing to do. Just not what you expect from the Lakers.
I expect Stephen A. Smith to be on television today calling this a basketball abomination. You know, that type of those type of words coming out of his mouth, because that's what it is. The Lakers could have got Christian Wood, a 26-year-old center, to be their guy for the future. I mean, to be alongside, he would be their third best player automatically.
Yeah.
Because they don't have money. That they're going to be making tons of money off this new Showtime. What is it called?
It's called Winning Time, actually.
Winning Time, yeah. The name, it doesn't really fly with me. But anyways, it's going to be great. I can't wait to watch that. But the ESPN, the original report here is that it would have been Westbrook, Talen Horton-Tucker, and a 2027 first-round pick for John Wall and Christian Wood. That's what McManaman and Winhurst said. I wouldn't have liked to trade Westbrook straight up for John Wall, because why do you want to restart with that? But if you get Christian Wood alongside that to play with LeBron and AD for these years, Wood is having a great year. I mean, the numbers are good. Obviously, he's flying under the radar in Houston, but 17-10, and he can shoot from three. He's shooting 37% at 26 years old. This is wrong. This is a mistake if they had this on the table. Now, Shams is reporting that they're interested in Tristan Thompson in Los Angeles.
Yes.
I know he's LeBron's buddy, but that's a downgrade to go from Christian Wood to Tristan Thompson, who's at the end of his career.
The Lakers can never complain about having to pay out money. They're worth more than like anyone else in the whole world. So they can go into the luxury tax if you need to go and compete, especially when you got LeBron at 37. I mean, it's not like, all right, we're building for a couple of years down the road here. Go for it. Who cares? You've got the money. That would have been if they turn that down, I think that is a terrible decision by the Lakers, because maybe Christian Wood is playing a bit above his weight, punching above his weight right now out there in Houston, but he is younger. He can spread the floor. He's way better than DeAndre Jordan or Dwight Howard they've got right now as well. So you get a little piece back, a young piece that you hang on to, and you get rid of the Russell Westbrook contract. Sure, you get the John Wall in return, but the Russell Westbrook hasn't worked out. Maybe John Wall will. Maybe it won't, but I think you know what you're getting with Westbrook. I'm just amazed that they didn't make this move if it was there.
And by the way, I mean, I gave credit to Silver Screen and Roll, but this news was coming from Ramona Shelburne and Dave McMenamin, I believe, on the Windhorse podcast. They were talking about this. I mean, they're very plugged in, of course, when it comes to the Lakers. And then, like you said, Shams sort of backing this up. So this is probably some legitimacy to this, which is pretty wild if that's what the Lakers were doing here and saying no.
Because the Rockets were rumored to wanting picks, obviously, and unloading Christian Wood because, maybe they've had some locker room problems. The whole Kevin Porter Jr. Christian Wood thing. That being said, LeBron loves taking guys that are extremely talented and maybe haven't worked out in other stops, J.R. Smith, etc., and taking them under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would have been great. And John Wall wants to play basketball. You know, the John Wall thing is risky because he hasn't played in so long. But the Russell Westbrook thing has not been all that fruitful.
It'd be fascinating to see how the Lakers, attack these final 25 games, like you're saying. Like, it really comes down to, has LeBron sort of, mentally checked out on the season? You know, will he sort of wave the white flag a little bit? Or does he still believe, they obviously can go win this whole thing when him and AD are playing? We'll find out. Our next headline here, from the Associated Press, TNT's Inside the NBA crew will do an alternate broadcast during the All-Star game. Let me tell you what that means, Lee, okay? Turner Sports is bringing the mega cast concept to Sunday's NBA All-Star Game, okay? Two telecasts covering the event, one on TNT, the normal one, so to speak, and then one on TBS, this one, which is the Inside the NBA crew. It's Ernie, it's Shaq, it's Chuck.
Shock.
It's Shock. Shaquille O'Neal. And Kenny Smith. They'll call it on TBS in what basically is like an all-access, something that resembles ESPN2's Manning cast. I don't know if you've seen that with Peyton and Eli Manning. So Draymond Green's going to join in. They're going to have a bunch of guests. Is this news, or do you like this concept at least?
I think I saw this on NBA TV around 7 years ago. In the opening night of the season, Chicago and Cleveland, they had an alternative broadcast on NBA Overtime. It was these four guys just sitting around chatting, and they started dancing and doing all sorts of crazy stuff at halftime. Don't know what happened to them, but
I heard they got canceled.
Yeah. Really? I don't know what they're up to these days. But yeah, I mean, they've got to try these things because Inside the NBA is still the best basketball show out there. So why not have these guys? We saw the draft last week there. Chuck with his zingers there, you know, they'll just be making fun of everybody and having some jokes. I think it's I think it's worth doing. I mean, may as well try it and see how it goes. But isn't this what Danny and Nate do every once a week as well?
Well, they do it on League Pass games.
Yeah.
They have there's a lot of different streams you can pick now on League Pass. Yeah. I wouldn't say this is exactly like that.
Danny and Nate is the Manning cast, I'd say.
No, is it?
It's exactly the same. Why don't they just lead with that? We're doing the Manning cast. Because they should. What is this?
You have to get a Manning on the Manning cast.
Who cares?
Danny, call him up.
Yeah. Good point.
Danny Manning. What? Got me. You got me.
That would be very funny.
Get Danny on the Manning cast.
Will you be watching TBS or TNT on Sunday during the big game?
TBS, baby.
You will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what we've been, I think we've been talking about this forever. Like, have Barkley on the call. Have Ernie and Barkley, Shaq, and Draymond Green, and Kenny Smith on the call.
Yeah, they called a game a long time ago at this point now. Remember that? It was like,
play Madden, baby.
Yeah, they do it every once
they
in a while.
They do it once in every while. Yeah.
But yeah, it's on another, it's supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. Yeah,
I just hope Chuck forgets he's on camera at some point and becomes the real Chuck that we saw behind the scenes there.
Dropping
a few
some F-bombs,
times.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's how this is good, as if everybody that is doing the commentary doesn't know they're on camera and they'll actually talk about stuff. Yeah. That's the crazy thing about the All-Star Draft. For whatever reason, that's like the one time that all the ex-players and current players are honest about everybody else and having jokes with each other. Because every other broadcast, they're going to say nice things because they're all in the Brotherhood together.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is boring to me, if that's what we get from the fake Manning cast here. But if they're all able to kind of capture that same vibe from the All-Star Draft, then it'll be great. But if it's all like, oh, I'm really loving the opportunity for this guy, then it's no different than just hearing a broadcast.
I think the idea, too, is they will have a lot of top 75 players of all time sort of probably coming by the set, throwing on the headset and commenting on the game or whatever. I would assume that will happen with everybody in attendance. All right, let's hear from everybody with the stream team with that one. Final one here. It's not really a headline from a website, but I saw Taylor Rooks tweet it, and I want to ask you guys your opinion on it. Trey and I already talked about it on the Top Shot Hot Boys, but Jalen Green is apparently collaborating with NBA Top Shot for the dunk contest. NFTs in the mix.
In the mix.
To quote Taylor. Trey, is this news to you?
Sure. Sure, this is news to me because we're getting a little bit of a taste of what's going to go down at the dunk contest. NFTs are in the mix. What does it mean?
We don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? But I want that moment. Honestly, Skeets, like I said yesterday, I'm nervous when technology enters the dunk contest.
Yep.
Aaron Gordon with the drone. I posted today on Twitter the Harrison Barnes PlayStation dunk, where he missed the first two, had to do a two-hander, and then the one that they uploaded to PlayStation had a one-hander.
Oh, it was so... I watched that clip you tweeted out this morning. I was like, this is so bad.
Paul George with the lights, turned him off. Great dunk. Couldn't see what he's doing. Blake Griffin with the car. Everybody said he jumped over the short part of the car. As soon as you bring technology into it, everybody cares about the tech and not the dunk. Mm. You have to nail it the first time. It has to work perfectly, and that's asking a lot. For whatever he's going to be
doing. We don't even
know
what it means.
Yeah, he's probably going to wear a camera on his head.
And then that will be turned into the Top Shot moment?
Yeah, put it in the clip or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he narrates it like you said. Who knows? There's a million possibilities. But let's get Lee's take on this. What do you think? Jalen Green, NFTs, Top Shot, dunk contest. Go.
I just don't quite know what it means until I see it. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
They're in the mix.
I don't remember the Harrison Barnes one at all. When did that happen?
Oh, it is. Did you watch the clip that Trey tweeted? It's 2014?
2014.
Yeah,
Harrison
Barnes.
It's a weird dunk contest.
On the Warriors. He appears to just put like a device in his pocket. He's got pockets
wow.
in his NBA short. That's a weird part. He puts this device, and then, like Trey said, he's supposed to do the dunk, and then, like, hey, let's go to the big board and see this in 2K version.
Okay. Yeah.
And they had already made that, of course. Yeah. It wasn't like they were making it in real time. Because he botched the dunks a couple times, he changed it up, and then it looked nothing like it. It was horrible. It
yeah,
was
very, I mean, the drone idea with Aaron Gorn a few years sounded great, didn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm a little skeptical that this will come off, but again, I'm not sure exactly what it is. So,
don't worry, nobody does. nobody knows. Nobody does.
We'll be watching.
I'm glad you guys have claimed that you don't know either, because it just could mess up. That's all we know, right? They're non-fungible tokens, not non-fungible technology. You know, there could be some funging. Good luck. Good luck, everybody.
I hope he doesn't funge this up.
Yeah.
It'll be bad.
All right. Well, that is Saturday night. A great reminder that we will be here at this table watching. Woo! I'm pumped.
Me too.
I can't wait.
Let's get Danny Manning on Saturday night.
We'll be doing a live watch party from 8 till the end, watching the skills challenge and the 3-point contest and the dunk contest. You had a good idea that we should do some drafting for the participants. Are we going to do that live on the watch party?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll each pick a couple dunkers.
Okay.
One dunker each, sorry, and a couple three-point shooters each.
Oh, not touching the skills challenge?
Yeah, no, we can.
Oh, okay.
They need one more team.
They do.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, anyway, so live watch party Saturday night. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, and we're going to have a blast come Saturday. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, JD's got tweet of the night. We got pick 'em results, and I will eventually take this damn dog shot collar off. We'll be right back. Okay, before we get to tweet of the night, we had a poll up in the stream team, TK, and it was very simple. What's your 50 food? Are you team 50 piece? Are you team 50 burger? What are the results?
76% of people say it's got to be 50 piece.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Sounds good. But we also have a lot of people saying, can you order a 50 piece nugget? I don't know if you can. You can order 50 wings at a Hooters. I saw a guy named Eric Gwilt do it once.
Wow.
He ate them all in one night by himself. Incredible stuff.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah. What is this guy, Cam? He's the only other man I could believe that could do it.
You can order 2 20 pieces and a 10 piece if you need 50 nuggets, which we'll be doing Saturday.
So, nice. So when Giannis went through the drive-thru after winning the finals, had scored 50, and made it very clear, not 49, not 51, I want 50. I want the 50 piece. Do you think it came in one container, or did they do what you're saying?
Multiples.
Was it maybe 5 10s or whatever? Did we ever get the answer to that?
Wow.
I don't know.
I mean, they wouldn't have a 50 piece, I wouldn't think, would they?
Why not? They do platters and stuff like that for lunches stuff. I think you can go say give me 50 nuggets and I think they give it to you in one.
I doubt it. Right. I highly doubt it because they don't have pre-printed boxes for 50 pieces.
Oh, come on.
But what size?
You don't think they have the size on hand?
They didn't go to Restaurant Depot and get a box big enough for a 50 piece. They went they got 20, 20, and 10.
I'm looking at the menu here. Here's what I'm seeing. At Chick-fil-A, this is only Chick-fil-A report.
That's where he went.
Yeah. 5-piece, 8-piece, 12-piece, 30-piece, and a 30-piece heart-shaped tray, which I imagine is February-specific. But honestly, when it comes to ordering nuggets, you're only limited by the scope of your imagination.
That's true.
Yeah, you can jam 50 nuggets into a 30-piece box, I think.
Yeah.
You have to do some math there. You can go 30, 12, 8.
I'll go 30 and 4 5s. This guy's crazy.
By the way, apparently we've used all the electricity in my shot collar. As one of our lights went out. Man, we're just falling apart here today.
Just pissed off JD.
I know. Woo! Okay, we're almost done. Thank God. JD, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Tweet of the night. Yes, it's a follow-up, actually, from yesterday's tweet of the night from Iman from the Dishes and Dimes podcast. Mm-hmm. And just a reminder, she was complaining about how ugly the Pelicans court is. And we took a – let me grab that picture here. This is how it looks. And basically – it has no paint. Like, there's no paint in the paint, and that was her main complaint. So we got a response from Jester's NFT and said, fixed it for you.
NFT, back in our life.
Yeah.
Hello. Nice Jester there, Jester.
That looks good.
This looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, and you still have the kind of weird watermark pelican there, which I kind of, I've always liked that kind of, the idea of it, but it's not very well executed, as Amon pointed out. Mm-hmm. And Amon responded to this, that's actually a fire court.
Yeah.
So she likes it, we like it. So yeah, maybe we should. Who do we know at Pelicans? Is it
Joel Myers?
Joel Myers. Joel Myers.
Yeah. Oh, he's not gonna like this show. Dog collar. At all. Yeah.
I said it to Dave Griffin too. We got
Dave. Oh, we got Dave. Dave?
Yeah, yeah. No, Dave.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, at the very least, we should make that new court an NFT.
Yeah, fungent.
Yeah, for sure.
PYP, paint your paint.
That's right. Good stuff. Pick 'em results. Last night's game was Celtics Sixers. Boston was favored by 1.5 on the road. This is brought to you by BetMGM. Tass, the only one to take Boston, took the Beantown boys. Hey! And got the victory. So you're 3-8. You're still in this. You're within striking distance of Trey, who lost because he had the Sixers. He's 5-6. And then Lee and I taking a rare L here. We're 8-3. So what's tonight's game? There are a lot to pick from.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure here. I see that shock collar on you. I've lost 2 months in a row.
Oh, yeah, you owe some payoffs for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I could be losing 3 months in a row. Is that 3 shock collars on my neck? God
one on
help
your,
me.
One on your neck,
uh-huh.
One on your wrist. Stomach, and one okay. on your nuts.
You can put that one on yourself, that one there, too. That's
Can't wait. I have been manscaped. All good. Anyways, not an ad. I like this line here of the Jazz at the Lakers. I do believe the Lakers will go into the trade deadline with a fight.
Wow.
I'm betting on the team that's not playing well here, but I'm betting on an idea that they're going to go into the... So they're plus 4.5. They can lose by 4 or less to the Utah Jazz. Trey and Lee like the Jazz playing well. Mm-hmm. Their boys are back. Everybody healthy. Mostly healthy. And Skeets myself.
Yeah.
Taking the Lakers. Plus 4.5. Says the Lakers
we got points to
falling.
Play with. We got points to play with.
Yes. Yes. You want to. 26-31 Los Angeles Lakers. Still feels a little bit weird.
Crazy. All right. Well, good luck to everybody. That's it for us. Thank God. Let's get out of here. Email in your questions, though, to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
It's coming.
@NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. There it is, JD. Nice. Did you keep track, JD? How many times you shocked me?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. That's all right.
We'll count them up after the show.
Yeah, I think we're up to 12 or 13. Okay.
Let's see if John Shockman's in the chat. Maybe he's keeping
nice track. To get one of my payoffs out of here, though. I'm down to one. I still owe one, unbelievably. So we'll pay that off sometime soon. Guys, back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern live here on YouTube. Please, if you haven't already, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and like the video and share it with your friends. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Until then, Clipper Bros!
Hold on.
He wants to get one more shot.
Hold on. What was that?
I'm waiting for fucking Clipper Bros.
Here it comes.
You heard it first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Everything has gone off.
This place is falling apart.
I like how Skeets.
Face the day, people. Oh.